You know, that is so like our lives in Jesus. You know, there's this constant war between the life that Jesus wants us to have and the life that the enemy is trying to get us to be bound by, and the freedom we can have in Christ. There is so much life that God wants to give us. You know, he says that he came to give us life, and life to the full. And, you know, there's stuff in this world that's good. He made it. You know, it's not like everything in this world is bad. It's just that he has to come first, and we have to be willing to overcome stuff. You know, he had to be willing to overcome his stayed, steadfast, you know, do everything by the book thing. And allow the other side to take over just sometime. And, you know, we're called to be atmosphere changers, aren't we? We're actually called to be the thermostats, not the thermometers in our world. So we're actually called to change the atmosphere around us. And it's so important. And we need to share that because, you know, as Flavia said this morning, it's about eternity. And when we think about eternity, things change. I actually had a totally different talk again. You know, like a few weeks ago, I talked about God is good and the importance that it is to remember that that's true no matter what. And that if something in our minds is saying that that's not true, then we have to change. That truth is right. We can't change the truth. We have to change our thinking. And, you know, in that video, it just reminds me how much more there is that we could be doing, you know, and the things that hold us back. And I titled this morning, Eternity Changes Everything. I've been quite encouraged by the things that people have said this morning so far. But eternity changes everything. And, you know, even when we come to the goodness of God, you know, the situations that we face, let's face it, that aren't good. We all do. From time to time, some days are worse, some months are worse, some years are worse. You know, we all face things. And in the light of today, of the natural realm, it's all those things can be awful, like for some people more than others. Do you know what I mean? For some people, it's continuous. It's not just like a one-day thing or a one-week thing. You know, the things, you know, relationships, financial things, it's lots of different things we face. And I don't know about you, but it's easy to question the goodness of God when we're going through those things. When the world throws stuff at us, you know, it is easy. And unless we keep eternity in our minds and hearts, it's much easier to blame God. You know, we're so quick. I'm including myself. I do it less now than I used to. There's areas in my life where that thought never occurs to me anymore. Because the goodness of God, as Flavia said, she's more in love with Jesus today because God is good and he's done so many things. And Flavia can say that in the midst of some tough things going on for her. You know, we can all have that testimony. The goodness of God doesn't change. But if we view things from today, then sometimes that doesn't seem true. No, it doesn't feel true sometimes. It doesn't appear to be true sometimes. But in the light of eternity, whatever we go through in this world is nothing. You know, like, really, when you think of forever and ever and ever and ever and ever with Jesus in heaven, where there is no pain, no suffering, you know, joy forever, life forever, we'll never stop growing, we'll never stop creating, we'll never stop loving God more. In the light of eternity, whatever we go through in this world is a bit like when my kids are playing around and they fall down and they scrape their knee and they might have to go to hospital. It might get infected. It might last a week, a month. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's just a scrape and you clean it up and, you go, never mind, go on, off you go. Sometimes it takes more care. And sometimes the cure doesn't work, some grit gets in, it's worse than it looks at times, right? But in the light of their lives, most of them don't remember most of the falls, most of the scrapes. And some of them did it more than others. Right? So it's not all the same. But do you know what I'm saying? So the enemy constantly tries to make you think, if God really loved you, then how come? Or tries to blame us, because he's the accuser, if you really love God, then. It's this two-way thing. But if God really loved you is the thing that he constantly brings. And I said when I talked about God is good that he tries us to get us inward looking at ourselves. And in the light of today or of that instant, it doesn't feel like God is good. And we need to learn to come to God quicker and to catch those thoughts, because we've talked about how it's the renewing of our mind. You know, in that video, it's the most life was when the heart and the mind were actually in agreement. But we need to be in agreement of the things of God, not in the things of this world. Eternity changes everything. You know, it's looking at short term versus long term. How many of you know that even as, we discipline our kids, like if we say no to something, no, you can't have ice cream now. You can have it after dinner. That for them, waiting till after dinner feels like forever. Hello? Do you even now, even when you're at work and you're really hungry, waiting till lunchtime sometimes seems forever. Right? This physical world sometimes feels forever. And we're saying no to ice cream now because we want them to grow up healthy and strong and to give them good habits for later. And the ice cream is coming, but it's just not now. And for little ones, that's like, you see it from this high. The world's coming apart. My mum and dad said no, and this is what I want right now. So for them, that instant feels like my mum is not good. My mum is mean. If she really loved me, she'd give me the ice cream right now. I mean, I remember thoughts like that about things that my parents said yes and no to. I thought, you're just so mean. You don't understand. And sometimes as parents we get it wrong, but God never does. And when we get it right, it still feels like mum's being mean or not good or unhappy, in those times. And it's really important that as we look at those situations that we reflect that in our lives. And that's what we're actually being like with God. I'll own up. God, can I please have that now? And he goes, no, you can wait. I don't like waiting. There's like, God, give me patience right now. Everyone ever prayed that, seen that poster? So sometimes in the waiting, I'm going, but I don't want to wait. Like, I want it now. I want my ice cream now, and I'll think about dinner later. And so with a lot of things, if we stop and think that that's how we're doing, that's what we're doing with God, I think it helps. It has helped me. I have learned a lot through having kids and actually looking at what they're doing compared to me. Because I know that at least most of the time when I said to no to my kids, it was because it was better for them. Occasionally it was because, like, no, I'm not doing that right now. Let's be honest, I am honest. Occasionally it's like, you know what, you can live without, and right now I don't want to. But I'm a human being who was probably tired, you know what I mean? But God is always for us. He's never too tired. And anything he says and does is because he has our best in hand. And so when we come to those opportunities and those situations, when we're thinking, but God, if we remember that, you know, the little kids who are throwing a tantrum at the supermarket, or who are just going, it's not fair, or taking themselves off to a corner. You know, when we look at that, we go, oh, that's cute, but that's really bad. Sometimes it looks cute. It looks cute at this age. Doesn't look so cute at this age. Right? And so, if we don't want them to be throwing the tantrum at this age, then we have to teach them not to throw the tantrum at this age, right? But you know what? At the shops, I'm sure for most moms, it'd be much easier to give them the ice cream, give them the lolly, because they're causing a scene. I know what that's like. So at the time, in some situations it might be okay, but on the whole, if you kept doing that for that child, it's not a good thing. And we all know that. But it's harder work for me if I'm thinking about their long-term benefit and the sort of person I want them to grow up to be, so that they can live life to the full, so that they can have friends, because no one wants to be a friend with someone who's still throwing tantrums at 9, 10, 11, right? So that they can respond well in the world, so that they can actually have opportunities in life, because they've been taught respect and that waiting is good, even when you don't like it. Long term, I have to learn to deal with those situations with my kids. And so God is always thinking long term. He never cuts corners. He never does what would make life easier in the moment for our relationship, for me to think God's cool all the time. He's always thinking what's best for our relationship long term and what's best for me long term. When the boys were little, I think Corey was probably at 3, and Ian went, no, he must have been 3 or 4. And Ian went for the first time on a mission trip without us. We used to travel as a family, but I just had Jonathan. And I'm thinking, 3 kids in a truck in a hot country without car seats. And I'm just, you know, he's 6 weeks old. I'm thinking, you know, this one might be a good one to sit out. Anyway, I did pray about it, and I didn't feel any conviction that I needed to go. And it was the first time Ian went on his own. And I remember Ian saying to Corey, you know, make sure you help Mum. And the next day, it's not even my notes. The next day, so sorry, Corey. The next day, he got up and Ian always did the dishwasher. So Corey was trying to do the dishwasher because they had said, help Mum. And that's what. And I was just like going, like, wow. I said, you don't have to. He goes, yes, I do. Daddy said to help you. I went, okay. So, 3-year-old, dishwasher. I'm going, it's lovely. My little boy wants to help me. But really? going to take me a whole lot longer this morning to see those dishes done. And I could have persevered and gone, don't worry about it. You know, it'll be really quicker for me to do it. But I didn't. And because I thought, you know, long term, I really want them doing dishes. Long term. This is this short term, long term. I was thinking that. Trying to think that most of the time when I had the boys. Long term. What a brilliant time for him to start doing the dishes. Three. Yes. Okay. Today, not good. Long term. Long term. Long term's good. Long term's good. Can you imagine? Like, I've got a brand new baby. You know what I mean? I'm going, long term. Long term's good. Think long term. Anyway, so I decided that he could do the bottom shelf. And I actually changed where the cutlery went. Because he was so little, he couldn't reach the top drawer. So I put all the cutlery down a couple of drawers. You know, even that took longer than it would have taken for me to do the dishwasher. And we left the cutlery there until the boys were tall enough to all tall enough to reach the top. My friends used to come to my house and go, where's the spoons? Go in the cutlery drawer. Cutlery drawer, where's the cutlery drawer? Cutlery drawer's always on the top drawer. Not in our house, it's in the second or third one, depending what age they were at. And they go, why? Because the boys put the cutlery away. And one friend said, but wouldn't it be quicker for you to do it? I go, yes, yes it would. But long term, right? Long term, it was much better that I took time out, that I changed things around, and that I put something in place that would work for them to help me eventually. And it was such a blessing. It didn't get the job done quicker, but it was so much more fun. And it was such a blessing to me that I had a three-year-old who was helping me. And when Dad got home, can you imagine Ian finding out what his boy had done? Because he had said, help Mum, because I won't be here. Do you know that's a precious memory? I haven't thought about for ages, but they come, don't they? But had I thought short term, here, now, not good, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't be a memory. It wouldn't be a long-term thing that I now can look back on 20 years and go, that's an amazing time that Corey and I had over those 2 weeks. Short-term versus long-term. So I don't know when they caught up to the fact that the dishes kept going, you know, like I kept letting them do it after that. Dad got to learn less. But that happened time and time again. Short-term versus long-term is such a crucial thing. This world versus eternity is such a crucial thing. We have to keep in mind that this whole 100 years, if we're blessed to be here that long, or not blessed, some people don't want to be here that long. It's just like 5 minutes on one of our days in comparison to eternity. So when we're facing anything, or when we're trying to live the life, we need a renewed mind. And the first thing that has to be renewed is that we have to think in terms of eternity and in terms of our relationship with God. You know, the goodness of God in the light of eternity, no matter what we're going through, comes up trumps. Because we look back at anything we've gone through and we know that He is faithful to the end. Sometimes it takes a lot longer to see the answer that we want and that we've been asking God for, it feels like forever. It isn't in the light of eternity. And I'm speaking to me as well. You know, Ian and I are still waiting for our house here in Britwell. We've been praying for that for forever. You know what I mean? It feels like that so often. And in the light of eternity, what happens in this world also changes. In the light of what we see. You know what? I don't think... Oh, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We watch the VeggieTales, so I just go Rack, Shack and Benny. Because that's what they're called in the video. It's much easier. You know, I don't think they probably thought God was that good when they were going to be put into the fiery furnace. Like, I'm sure that, you know, they were willing to. But if they were human beings, it's like I'd be going, are you sure, God? You said you've got my back. You said you will protect me. You said you'll keep me. And I'm just about to be burnt. You know, like that's an impossible situation. But they had their minds renewed enough and their relationship with God strong enough that they didn't back down in that circumstance. They allowed themselves, knew that, well, Lord, unless you come through, we'll be seeing you real shortly. You know, like, for me, that's a horrific situation. Thinking of getting burned at all is a horrific thing. But, you know, I mean, in their spirits, it's not like these people are real people in the Bible. They would have been feeling the same things we feel. They would have had the same fears, like, that's really hot. Like, at least it's that hot that it probably won't take long. You know what I mean? Like, when you're facing something, all these thoughts come, but they all come instantaneously, don't they? Like, you can think so many things in a millisecond when you're facing something. So before being put in, like, my thought of the way God should have delivered is say, it's okay, you don't have to go in. Like, that's a good way for God to come and answer this prayer of, Lord, you said that if we follow you, we'll be fine. Now would be better than once I'm in there. No? What about Daniel and the lion's den? You know, I was thinking with the VeggieTales things that when the king comes back to see if Daniel's all right, he goes, they had pizza? That's what the lions and Daniel had in the VeggieTales version. But you know what I mean? Like going in there, his love and his faith so good, and their minds were fixed on God, weren't they? Because if your mind's not fixed on God, you can't go through all that and say, yes, I believe no matter what, and do the right thing. What about even Moses? You know, they get delivered out of Egypt and they're about by the sea and the army's coming. It's like, couldn't you have stopped them back at camp? Like, did you have to let them follow? You know what I mean? All these situations, if we're really honest and look at them from a human point of view, are all ones where they could have all gone. And Moses did, have you, you know, Moses was really real, eh? In the Bible, he comes through very real, like, God. But God already had a way of escape. And he was showing his awesome power. And Moses, I'm sure, through his whole time in the desert and into, you know, before they went into the promised land, I wonder how many times he had to go back. God did it then. He rescued us from that. I stood. The army was going to destroy us all. And there was this water in front of me. And God parted it. And we walked through. And they drowned. But he kept us safe. And in the desert, when there's no food and stuff happened, do you not think that he went, God did it back then. He can do it again. You know, we don't know what God puts in front of us to walk through, because we're going to need that remembrance stone. We're going to need that testimony to go back to for the next thing that God has for us. And if he'd made it easy back then we would be limited in what we can do ahead for God, in God. And you know what? The more we go through, the more reward we get for eternity. You know, I used to not talk about that much, but I remember Bill once saying that, you know, if you might not care about reward in heaven now, but you will then. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God, because he must believe that God exists and that he punishes sin. Yeah, it doesn't say that, does it? It says that he exists and is the rewarder of those who follow him. We must, to have faith, we must believe he is there, but not only that he's there, but that his main goal is to reward us. In other words, that he is a good, good father. It could have said anything about God, that he exists and. It says, you know, or that he exists and will forgive us our sins, that he exists and he loves us, that he exists and, you know, so many ands there could be, couldn't they? All the things God does for us, but it says that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when we're going through things, he will reward those things. But most of the time, we want it now here because it's easier. Like I said, Satan wants us to focus on the here and now. When I talked about God's goodness, I talked about his word, the Bible, and I asked the question, whose benefit was the Bible written for? And we all agreed it was for our benefit. It was so that our lives could be better, so we could live life abundant, so we could party in the kingdom, bring change. So when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, whose benefit's that for? Our benefit. See, it's not a God who's just wanting worship and who wants us to do whatever. He's not this hard taskmaster. He's this God who wants to reward. He's this God who says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. If we steady our hearts, if we every day seek to put God first in everything we do, everything else will be added, is the promise. Everything else, he will add. He wants us to trust him to do the things that he puts in front of us, and he'll take care of our backs. He tells us not to worry about those things. He says he will provide our every need. When we were a long time ago, just before God called us into self-supporting ministry, after Ian and I had been married about 2.5 years, and there were lots of people wanting to know how we knew. We told some people different things. I think I shared that we actually, in a book that Lauren Cunningham, who founded YWAM, talks about hearing the voice of God. He talks about, I read this version that at the back had 15 different ways God leads you. And when we stepped out into self-supporting ministry, faith ministry, that we had already heard from God about lots of the stuff, and I looked at the list, and I ticked 14 of the 15. And I went, that'd be really cool to get the 15th. And I did. What I should have known is I needed to have 15. You know, like, instead of having one or two, I should have known it was going to be a really big journey, that it was going to take a lot of courage, that it was going to cost me everything, us everything, but it was going to be so worth it. Because he gave us so much confirmation that I should have known that I'd need all that confirmation. You know, God makes sure that we know when we need to know. And every time we had a really rough time, we'd go, he gave us 15 different ways. All the boxes were ticked. We are in the will of God. Because the enemy tries to make us doubt that we're in the will of God and doing the right thing. And we found out the month after we started Living by Faith that I was pregnant with Corey. And so a lot of people said, so does that mean you're going to go back to Australia now because, you know, you've got a kid on the way? I went, I think God knew. Like, I didn't see the, you know, there was no signs for me, but I'm sure God knew beforehand, and he hasn't changed his mind. I could change my mind about whether I followed God or not, but do you know what I mean? He knew. And we said, no, we're going to keep pursuing God and whatever he has. And some of it was good, some of it wasn't. I've shared a little bit about it with you. You know, with Corey, we moved 18 times in his first 2 years of life. And I think some of you have heard, you know, we went to camps, didn't know where we were going to on the way back home and all that. And it was an amazing time. It was a really hard time. And it was a really amazing time of getting closer and learning to trust God more. We got a house when Corey was about 2 years old or so, and through a whole set of circumstances, and we were still living by faith. There was no furniture in the house, and we were cool with that. But I went to go to the hospital for something, to some medical thing, and on the way back, felt the Holy Spirit. Almost audible, could have been audible. You know, I don't know those of you who've heard an audible voice. I've only heard it once. But you go, did I really hear? Was that, you know, like afterwards? You go, and I was in a place that I didn't know in Auckland, and I felt like I really strongly felt like you have to go into that car park. So, like, it was that strong that I pulled over. I didn't have a clue where I was. I was, you know, I could have been lost for all I knew. I was on the way back from the medical appointment. And I parked and I said, all right, Lord, what am I here for? And he goes, you're going in there. And I went, it's a toy shop. And he went, yeah, you're going in there. And I was like, we have no money. Don't know where the next meal's coming from. We have car payments coming up. And anyway, so I walked into this toy shop and it was closing down and everything was like 80 to 90% off. And I'm going, oh, that's all very well, but when you don't have money, even 10, 20%. Anyway, I saw, and then, like I was just about to walk out. And every time I got closer to the door to leave, I felt sick. And I walked back and I'd feel fine. And I'm going, okay, I'll hang in here a little bit longer. So I walked up and down the aisle, and every now and then, this is like, I haven't shared this, I just remembered it with Corey recently. Every now and then, the Holy Spirit would go, there, that's what you're getting. I'm going, okay. Anyway, so I went up some aisles, so I went down the girls' aisle. Like, I only had boys, but I still went down the girls' aisle because I'm thinking, I may as well go through this shop and then see if I can leave and not feel sick. And he didn't make me stop at the girls' aisle at all. Anyway, long story short, keep going. And there were about six times when I felt, I want you to get that, I want you to get that. I went to go, I felt sick again. So I went back in, got a cart, put these things, went by the counter, and then I went, you know what, I can't do this. I had a credit card in those days, but we didn't have cell phones, and I had never bought anything without asking Ian. So I'm going, I can't do this. I'll have to go home. I'll talk to Ian and come back, you know. But, you know, this wasn't near home. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, this was like half an hour to an hour away. So I'm going. So anyway, I went, well, Lord, they're in this cart. I'll go home. I'll talk to Ian and then I'll come back. And I left and I sat in the car. And I felt so, so like God was going, all my peace left. You know, like, I'd come in really happy with this relationship, this connection. God had spoken to me audibly, and I'm going, meh, you know what, I'm not doing this. And logically, I shouldn't, right? So I went, okay, Lord, if as I walk in, I can't remember what I said, then I will get, I just put like, you know, like a fleece, because it was such a big thing. And anyway, I walked in, whatever I'd said to the Lord happened. So I went, okay, I will put these things on card and walk home and drive home. So I put them on the car. I put them on the card, drove home. As soon as I left, this joy, overwhelming joy came. Every sick feeling of sickness left. And I knew it was God, that it was God, that it was God. I'm going, I have to tell my husband. You know, so anyway, I went, go home. I went, I have something to tell you. He goes, yeah. I got like Tommy Trains, Duplo, like for like 10 or 20 pounds, like big sets, like huge sets of Lego, things like that. You know, like top of the range, amazing stuff. And so I told Ian the story and I told him how I felt. He went, well, if that's how you're feeling, that's good, but we don't have any money. I went, I know. He goes, okay. Bless his heart, he went away, he prayed. He probably panicked, probably thought my wife's lost his mind, but he didn't say any of all that until later. And anyway, next day we get this $500 check, anonymous. And when Ian gets it, the Lord said, there's another shop like that I want you to go to. And we went to another, bought a few more things. And long story short, two more checks of $500 came in that paid all the rest of the debts. Three times, anonymous, hadn't happened before, hadn't happened since. And for the next 8 to 10 years, every Christmas and every birthday, our boys had a major present when we were living on no money, because we lived by faith forever. When the bills couldn't get paid, you know, and they did get paid, obviously, but you know what I mean, when you're feeling like, I don't know where my next meal's coming from, I don't know how I'm going to pay for the car, I don't know how I'm going to pay for my mortgage, all those questions came. We had toys in the cupboard waiting for the boys for every Christmas, every birthday, until Corey turned about 10. And they were excellent toys. We still have them now because they're that good quality Duplo. We were seeking first the kingdom of God, and he added. He is a God who wants to reward, and he thought about my boys' toys for the next 6 or 7 years. My three boys never went without gifts, Christmas or Easter. And Ian and I didn't have to go, can we afford to buy them a gift? Should I pay for the food or should I pay for the toys? Because when Corey was three, God saw this opportunity and he blessed us with money to buy our kids toys. Because he knew the journey we would be on for for all that time, that it wasn't going to be easy. And how many of you know, as a mom or a dad, you just want to bless your kids? And the hardest times are when you can't give them what you want to give them. But God cared enough to audibly talk to me and say, go into the shop and buy these things because they're for your boys. Not for like this year. Not for this birthday and Christmas only. But for this amount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. And all these things aren't just the needs. He cared enough that our boys got toys. That's worth a shout. The thing with seeking first the kingdom of God is that it's for our benefit, but also he calls us into partnership to bless those around us. Bill says that we reflect the kingdom or the realm in which our hearts spend the most time. Right? So when we're meeting with people, if all our thoughts are about this world and our concerns in this world and, you know, our food, our house, our clothes, our health, if everything that we focus on is seeking to just stay okay, then when we meet someone new who doesn't know the kingdom, we won't have anything to give them. Because what's going to come out is what we've been concentrating on, which is the cares of this world. Good and bad, right? But if we're constantly seeking first the kingdom of God, then when we meet someone, doesn't matter if I'm in lack at this point, I'm still reflecting God's goodness. God is good. He is here. A miracle will happen. And God wants to partner with us to see his kingdom come. Because, you know, the return of Jesus is the hope of the church. Yes? That's what Flavia just said before. When he comes back, Thessalonians, he is coming back. But the hope of this world is what? What's the hope of this world? The hope of this world is the power of the gospel. It's Jesus. The hope for this world, who doesn't yet know him, I'm talking about, is the power of the gospel. And when we put eternity on our hearts, and when we live and renew our minds so that our thoughts are centered in heaven and not on earth, and when we seek first the kingdom of God and let him worry about the everyday, he'll get us to partner. I'm not talking about not working. I'm just talking about priorities and where we're focused. When we focus on him and his kingdom, we get to reflect that. And we get to bring the power of the gospel to a dying and lost world. And we both win. God gets to reward us because he's a daddy who wants to do that. That's what he lives for. For us to do something that he can reward. And Bill says that in order to bring someone a reward, you have to have choice, right? Because if I have to do something and I have no choice, I don't get a say in it. It's just what I have to do. But when I have a choice, then I'm choosing something that God wants, and he brings reward for that. At home we have a plate that's called the star plate. It has a star in the middle. It says, "You're a star." And we celebrate it with it. You know, if it was your birthday, you got it. But also, and if you did something major, you know, came first in something, you got it. But also, if you were trying something little and you made an effort and it worked, you know, a characteristic, or if you were working on being patient and we got back a story from school saying, you know, this kid was being really mean and I really wanted to punch him out, but I didn't. And I went, "Lord, give me patience." Then they got the star plate because we rewarded the positive behavior because they had a choice to punch or not. You know, I don't know if they were going to punch them, but you know what I mean? And God's like that. He's looking for every opportunity to reward us. And then the things we have, I've been looking a lot in the goodness of God, so it's probably something Bill or somebody else said. The things we have become a reflection, a testimony of His goodness, not just stuff. You know, like every year when we got those toys out, they weren't just toys. Every year they were a testimony to us that God was with us, that He was for us, that He wanted to bless us, that He was looking after our boys. So the stuff then becomes part of the testimony, not just stuff. Make sense? So if we seek first the kingdom and His stuff, then the stuff He gives us as rewards here, because it's for here, it's not just for heaven. You get that? Then the things that He blesses us with here become part of a testimony that we can share with others, or that just encourages our own soul. Eternity changes everything. God is good, and He wants to reward us. Amen?